Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. And if service and price means something to you, doesn't it to everybody? It means everything to them. They take care of auto, home, life, business insurance. They've been serving the Valley for more than 50 years. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We have a lot going on the rest of this week, including Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, business of the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to get into recruiting. Now, I may not be able to get into specifics, but others can, about Penn State football recruiting. Thus, Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, Greg Pickle, Fight on State will be two of the sources we'll go to. Sean Morris, BTN, to talk about college basketball. Get Sean on the show. So we have a lot going on between now and the end of the week. Kevin doesn't know what that means.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in the front office in Philadelphia. Bobby Abreu signed by the Phillies moments ago. So they're going to bring back the 39-year-old that was a Philly a little while ago.
But is it a minor league contract?
I haven't seen yet what the details are. If it's a minor league contract, I can understand. But let's face it, this is not the move the Phillies need to make in the outfield.
Maybe they're switching to the American League and he can be a DH.
Well, maybe that's what it is. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, see, you don't think outside the box.
It is a minor league contract, by the way.
Well, then there's very little risk with this. What's wrong with that?
But it doesn't resolve the issue. And the issue is they don't have enough solid outfielders right now.
I understand that, but it's a minor league contract. In other words, there's very little risk and possible reward out of it.
Well, he's a left-handed bat, all right? And right now, your left-handed bats in the outfield, let's see, would be Marlon Byrd, Dominic Brown, and probably Abreu, and I can't really think of anybody else.
Fine. And Ryan Howard.
Well, I'm thinking in the play outfield, though.
Well, you just named three guys. You only have three outfield positions.
Well, Bobby Abreu is not going to play center field.
Well, come on. You don't know. Maybe for all we know, you haven't seen him in such a long time. Maybe he's sleek and svelte.
I mean, I know he had it. Where was he in the? He was playing summer league and had a really, winter ball in Venezuela. I know he did really, really well there.
Fabulous.
Exactly my point. Fabulous. So let's sign him to a one-year deal.
It's a minor league contract. There's very little risk in the possibility of reward.
Guy hit .242 in 2012. I don't even think... Did he even play anywhere last year?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Somebody has to explain to me the direction of the Phillies right now, because I just don't understand it.
Oh, I understand it.
Okay. Help me.
You have a group of guys that sat down there that also have been in collusion with the Steelers, figuring out ways to make you bitter.
Come on now. No, really. I mean, is there something I'm not seeing in this, Steve? As a rabid fan, is there something I'm not looking at that this the whole Philly situation right now makes sense?
I'll make sense of it for you.
Please do.
They put down huge money on Cole Hamels. They put down huge money on Cliff Lee. Down huge money on Ryan Howard. They have enough invested in, just because of length of time with the club, and Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley. There has to be a point where front office says, You know what? We need to stop bleeding cash here because we're not making the playoffs bleeding cash. So let's can maybe, you know, because they're not. The Braves are really good. The Nationals are, who knows, from day to day. The Marlins and the Mets are not good teams. The Phillies were in the division where they actually can make a move and actually have some upward mobility because the division isn't that great. And I think that, but they also want to do it in such a way where they're not bleeding cash. I think when you look at all the contracts that they have given up over time, I think that's the biggest issue, is how much money they have put down on the club in time. And I think that's a big issue in all this. Don't you think?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. But this feels to me like Young all over again.
What are you talking about? The third baseman?
Well, the Phillies outfielder last year. Shoot, just like that, his name's gone, sorry.
What, talking about Ben Revere?
No. Was it Delman Young?
Oh, Delman Young.
Yeah,
but that's
a, okay.
Yeah, but that's another.
I just couldn't remember for a minute there. Sorry.
Okay. You don't know how it's going to pan out in the big picture. Okay? A big problem is, right, let's take a look at the team that won it all last year, the Red Sox.
Okay.
They took $250 million in total salary and got rid of it. They traded Beckett, Crawford, Gonzalez, and Punto to the Dodgers. The Red Sox did not care what they got back. They actually got James Loney, the first baseman, and they let him go, and it turns out he's actually a pretty good player. But they didn't care what they got back. The most important thing that they got back was money. They then took the money, and they invested it in a series of players. 3 years, $39 million, Shane Victorino. They then took the money and gave a couple of years to Johnny Gomes. They gave a contract to Ryan Dempster. They picked up David Ross, the catcher. They gave a one-year deal to Stephen Drew. Now, what do all these guys have in common? And they also gave a two-year deal to Koji Urahara to be the middle reliever. They traded for Joel Hanrahan. That didn't work because he got hurt. But what do all those guys have in common? All of them, while not being superstars, all were major contributors to a world championship. Now here's the next part. The Red Sox also have Will Middlebrooks, Xander Bogaerts, and they're two guys in the farm system that have stepped up and have been huge contributors for them. Phillies don't have that yet. They don't have a Xander Bogaerts in their system. They just don't. A guy like Bogaerts comes along once in a lifetime. And I think that's part of what's missing for them at this stage. But if you notice, none of those guys were the superstar grade A athlete. The Red Sox did not bother to match Jacoby Ellsbury. He went to the Yankees. Because I think they're trying to build a team, and they're trying to do it within the framework of not going insane. Because of that, now they have some money to give to John Lester to keep him. Because they got rid of $250 million, literally, in total salary, in Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Nick Punto, and Josh Beckett when they traded him to the Dodgers. I think Crawford had $100 million left on his deal. I think that Gonzalez had almost $100 million left on his. Beckett's deal was $80 million. I think he still had $50 million left on that. Maybe $40 million, and Punto was about $7 or $8 million. So it came up to $250 million in total salary. Well, the Phillies have that already. And the contract they gave Hamels, the contract they gave Cliff Lee, the contract they gave Ryan Howard, Plus, you know, just through longevity, Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins are not cheap, and justifiably so. They've earned their money over time and performance. The Phillies probably don't feel at the moment that they have a lot of financial flexibility to do what you want them to do.
Not without getting rid of some big names.
Right. They'd have to then get rid of the guys you're talking about. Now, when you were on vacation last July and the trading deadline was coming up, Howard had already hurt him a year. He'd been hurt, I think, like 2 or 4 years. I said, who should the Phillies trade at the break? All right. Calls lit up left and right on the show. And what did they want? Who's the one guy they wanted traded?
Well, I'm guessing Howard because he didn't have a great year.
Ryan Howard.
But the problem is nobody wants to pick him up.
And they couldn't trade him because he was injured, so nobody wanted him. But he's the one guy the Philly fans want gone. They see Hamels, and they see a guy that gives them good starts. They see Lee, and they see great starts. They see Ryan Howard, and they're expecting 50 home runs, and they're not getting close to that. So thus, he's the guy they want traded.
But what I have to ask when you look at a guy like Bobby Abreu, is this guy going to be able to contribute in the outfield? Now, I haven't seen him in several years. Maybe he's still got some wheels. I'm sure he's in a heck of a lot better shape than I am. I get that. But I just don't see a 40-year-old guy running around the outfield right now.
Yeah, but it's a minor league contract. This is not a 5-year mega million
I understand that.
Deal that they made. So that you've got to be able to quantify what the deal is, because the deal, it's a minor league deal with low risk, thus low expectations, and anything beyond that, you're like, hey, it's a bonus. This worked out well. That's all it is.
I mean, if he does end up making the club, though, he's going to be filling a roster spot to be a glorified DH. And I never liked that. I never liked when teams do that. I know people want a good pinch hitter in the National League, but, man, it's a waste of a roster spot.
Well, you can pinch hit. You can play in the outfield some. You can be the fourth outfielder. You end up playing 100 games. Like I said, it's a low-risk, low-expectation contract. So in a low-risk financially, in anything you get, if he makes the club, contributes some, it's a bonus. They didn't give up a lot to do it. Fiscally responsible. And you roll the dice, and with a left-handed bat in that park, you can get something out of it.
So let's see. The outfield now consists of who will be 40 years old, Bobby Abreu, and 36-year-old Marlon Byrd. This is not helping the team average years at all.
Yeah, but you still have Ben Revere, and you still have Dominic Brown, and you know, and you still have John Mayer. It's five outfielders.
Oh, woo, John. Sorry, I'm not excited about that one yet.
Into the abyss we go. Oh, boy.
All right, that's enough. I'm done lamenting now. I'm going to be optimistic going into February when pitchers and catchers report. I'm going to be optimistic.
No, you asked why would they do it. I explained it's a low-risk deal, and sometimes these deals pan out, and a guy has a good year.
And that'd be great. I'd love to be having this conversation in August.
If the guy has a good year, he has a good year. If he doesn't, they risk nothing. Okay? It's a minor league contract. That's all it is. I mean, you make it seem like, you know, like, oh my goodness, the Yankees got Ellsbury, and we got Bobby Abreu. They're not comparable.
Well, the Phillies were also looking at Vernon Wells at one point, too.
One team spent $140 million, and you spent a minor league contract. I mean, it is what it is. It's not a high-risk thing. Okay, for the Yankees, it is a high-risk thing because Ellsbury is terrific when he plays 150 games. He doesn't always play 150 games. Okay? Who has a greater risk?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, if they sign Vernon Wells, I am going to defect to Pittsburgh.
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to talk about the NFL. Violence in the NFL. Are they doing too much legislation of violence in the NFL And one of them, you know, maybe eliminate. For example, we talked about eliminating the kickoff before. That was talked about. Now they're talking about wiping out the extra point. Because it's nine, it's anywhere from 6 to 10 untimed plays in the game where somebody could get hurt. Now, they would never say that, but I'm telling you directly that's what's behind this. How do you feel about how they are changing the game? Are they changing the game too much? 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
All right, 800-795-9565. Are they legislating the game too much? Dave in Sunbury, hi.
Hi, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
Okay. I don't know, when I heard that this morning, just the way the commissioner explained it, I just threw my arms up in the air and said, oh, well, what's next?
Well, I agree with you, Dave, because I think I'm getting a little concerned that they're tinkering too much with the game. They're tinkering with markets, they're tinkering with television, they're tinkering with how the game's being played, and I'm asking myself, you know, are they getting away potentially from what's made the league watchable and great?
Yeah, well, see, that when he said you scored a touchdown, they give you 7.
Yeah.
If you go for 2, they'll give you the 8th point.
Yeah.
But if you kick the field goal and miss it, then they move it back down to 6.
No, if you miss the 2-point conversion, you go back to 6. You can't.
Well, so,
they'll be extra points for the proposal.
Instead of
none.
Being 2 points, it'll be just 1-point conversion. Actually, by giving you
right,
yeah, okay,
right. So it's a 2-point conversion because the risk is you gain a point or lose a point. So there's a 2-point swing.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I think they're tinkering with it too much. Just like when they were talking about the kickoff thing, I thought don't tinker with it. Now Kevin was all out of whack that they're going to take the kickoff out of the game completely, kicking from the 35-yard line. I said, Kevin, when it gets to Thanksgiving and January, notice how kickoffs are run back. Gee, Kev, did you notice all the kickoffs run back?
Yeah, but
I watched it
all weekend weekend, and I saw two runbacks.
Legs get tired. Legs get tired. Trendon Holiday and Baldwin. Baldwin turned the game around, my friend. How did he do
agreed.
It?
Agreed.
On a kickoff. Thanks. Kickoff case closed.
65-yard kickoff return is how he turned the game around.
That's right.
And
that's
the
right.
other one, when you're doing kickoffs in mile high, it don't matter who's kicking them. They're going in the
stand. That's the problem. That's the problem is where. That's the problem with it. That's why Trinidad Holiday is amazing, because a lot of damage is done by him on the road.
See, I would have rather had them take the K balls out and go with a regular ball.
I agree with that.
And then go ahead and move it where you want.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the thing that I'm going to be honest, what got me to be honest. Was all that deal about the saying about that swatted at the pass that was knocked away and intercepted and all that hullabaloo about after that? I had more problems with that guy, the linebacker, even though, I know I root for Penn State, but that should have been take care of that problem right now before somebody else gets hurt like that.
Yeah, they're throwing the popcorn at Navarro Bowman. Yeah, that was.
No, I'm saying about he clearly had the ball.
Oh, I agree with you.
The guy coming across, they come from both sides. Everybody thinks they come from one side. No, they come from both sides just to make sure that they're touched out. That first guy could have seen that he clearly had it before it went into that major scrub and just blown it dead right there, and then they had to review it.
I think it was the single most impressive defensive play I saw anybody make at any level all season, because here he is, rips the ball away at the goal line in a big moment, and is getting his ACL and MCL torn as he does it, and still hangs on to the football when he hits the ground. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate it. 800-795-9565. Are they changing the game of football too much? Are they tinkering too much with the game? I want to hear your reaction to it. 800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. And, of course, if price and service means something to you, well, that means everything to them. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We will come back with the final half hour of the show and your calls on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, here we go. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. You know, price and service, everywhere you go, it just means something to everyone. It just does. And for Kratzer Insurance, that's been their motto for more than 50 years as they've served the Valley. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Very pleased to be joining you from the Sunbury Motors Studios. We head into our third year of the show. It seems like everything around here is stronger and better than ever, and that's because of all of you. You have made all the difference in the world, and we thank you for that. And, of course, we thank Sunbury Motors for providing just the perfect working environment. I'm separated from Kevin by thousands of miles.
Not funny at all.
You have to admit, that one surprised you. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Are they changing football too much? Now, it depends on where you are. I think numbers in Texas are up. I think numbers in California are up. But numbers in most states, football is down, yet the popularity of the game is off the charts. Yeah.
Did you see Jason's suggestion?
No, I haven't had a job.
Okay, I'll let you finish that thought. Sorry.
We've been a little busy doing this, okay? Trying to make sure a certain connection was happening. So I really wasn't looking at the internet.
All right, well, I'll let you finish that thought.
But Jack Ham and I were talking about something, and it just absolutely amazed him when we talked about this. I said last year, because the Pro Bowl's coming up this weekend. And look, you and I both know the Pro Bowl is just kind of like, okay, fine. You go through the motions, whatever. Yeah, it's an all-star game with, like, no contact. It just doesn't happen. And I said, the rating for that game last year was 12.7. And he looked at me and he says, 12.7? He says, are you kidding me? I said, no, I'm not kidding you. I said, it is unbelievable. I mean, that's how the Pro Bowl having a rating of 12.7. Now, this year, I think it goes head-to-head with the Grammys, right? That rating for an absolutely zero exhibition game with about as much action as watching a snow fall. And it still gets a 12-7 because people want a little football fix between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. Now, Jason's suggestion was what?
Well, his suggestion to the extra point is he thought Vince McMahon had the right idea. Remember the XFL?
Well, actually, what, the action point,
well,
whatever
no,
it was called?
Here's what they did. After touchdowns, there were no kicks because they figured it was guaranteed. So to earn the point after touchdowns, they ran a single offensive down from the two-yard line, which is basically like the two-point conversion, but it was only worth one. Then they amended it and made two-point and three-point conversions by using different parts on the field back from the goal line.
Right. That's the only change, because that the action point idea is not a new idea. Vince McMahon did not invent that. The World Football League had that back in 1974 and 75, my apologies. 1974 and 75, the World Football League had the action point. Sorry, Jace, Vince McMahon didn't invent it.
Well, I think he did invent, though, the interesting way. Instead of a coin flip, they had a scrum at the center of the field to see who got the ball. That was entertaining.
Yeah. I think that's rugby.
Could be.
You know, but the action point idea was actually invented by Gary Davidson, who would, the World Football League, 74-75. It was called the action point. That's why I referred to it as the action point. So that's actually how far back that idea goes. In this idea that Roger Goodell has, and I believe it's his idea, you get the automatic seven. And what they do is, again, let's take a 35 to 28 game. It's 35 to 28. So you have nine extra points in the game, correct?
Yes.
Those are nine untimed downs. So it would accomplish a couple of things. It would speed the game up because, boom, you're done. You're just going to go kick it off. You took your seven. You're leaving. You're not going to do anything about it. All right? And it also takes nine untimed downs off the table where somebody could get hurt. And I'm telling you right now, this is all about time and liability. That's what this is all about. It's about time and liability. It takes time to kick an extra point when the clock is not running, and there is contact on the extra point.
So this isn't about adapting to the fans and making it more entertaining. That's what this was about.
Oh, please.
I'm disappointed now.
No, this is never about that anymore. Okay? This is never about that anymore. Everything now is about liability. Okay? Tomorrow. All right? Okay, here's one for you. Were the schools let out early today in the Valley?
Yes. Many of them. The ones that did go did get let out early.
How much snow did you have?
About two, maybe two and a half.
When we were kids, in all seriousness, we never would have been out early.
I don't remember that happening very often.
Never, never would have been out early.
Had to have at least 4 inches of snow.
Right? I mean, we were never let out early. Okay? Yeah. And this isn't one of those I walked up the hill 10-mile story, please. That's, you know, I'm talking, we're trying to talk real here. All right? I went from first grade to fourth grade. I walked to school every day, which was a little bit more than a mile. I walked every day. Walked a mile up, walked a mile back. You know, I would say more than half the walk was down my street. And then I'd have to cut through a wooded area, cross the street, then go down another area that had a wooded area to the left and a swamp to the right before everything cleared out and there was the school. Do you think they would let any kid do that today? And I did that every day for 4 years for school. And it was over a mile. And what's the temperature going to be tomorrow? Or let's say Wednesday. Wednesday morning it's going to be what? Zero.
At best.
Right? It's going to be, okay? What are the odds there's a 2-hour delay tomorrow?
Oh, if the wind chill's as bad as they're projecting?
No, if it's zero degrees, what's the odds that they'll be off tomorrow? Even possibly off tomorrow. At least a two-hour delay, if not off. What are the odds?
At least a two-hour delay. At least a two-hour. I'd say 75%.
When I went to school, guess what? I walked. We didn't have the day off.
See, I only remember two issues.
If we got over 4 or 5 inches of snow, if we got over 4 inches of snow, we were absolutely off. And we had a lot of snow when I was a kid up in New England. We got a lot of nor'easters. But everything has changed. Why has everything changed? First of all, they're doing the right thing now with kids. They shouldn't be out there when it's 0 degrees. Okay? And we shouldn't be risking them in buses when there's 2 or 3 inches of snow. Right? That's the right thing to do. But why are they doing it? Liability. Okay? Even though it's common sense, the reason they're doing it is they're worried about liability. If I send the kids home, right, and it's snowing out, and there's an accident,
Well, the kickoff, though, was completely about liability. Yeah, you're right.
This is all... Kevin, Rob Gronkowski got hurt on an extra point this year.
See, I see it's this about as liability. Being boring.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Zero, zip, zilch. You got to start thinking about the way America works today, Kevin, not about fantasy football. Okay? You got to start thinking about how does America work today. Okay? Every rule that they put in the National Football League or change is about what? If you take out 9 untimed downs, you have now taken out 9 possibilities of a concussion.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not denying it. I'm just saying it's a boring play anyway, so let it go. Try something different. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, except I would try something different, okay? I would try something absolutely different in the NFL, and I've talked about this before, okay? Make it an active play.
Yes. Right?
No. You're not going where I'm going here.
Okay?
I block the kick. I run it back. I get the points.
Oh, no. I totally agree with that.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay? I run a 2-point conversion, and I pick it off. I go all the way back. I get the points.
It should not be a dead ball.
Right. It's a no-risk play. That's why it's a nothing play. There's no risk in it. I don't want them taking the extra point out of it because it's a part of the game. At the same time, remember we had John Bacon on the show and we talked about the famous 73 game between Michigan and Ohio State that changed everything in the Big Ten?
Yes.
Okay. There's a play in that game where Mike Lantry, the kicker for Michigan, lines up. He's a straight-on kicker, not a soccer-style kicker. Straight-on kicker. And he's going to kick to try and win the game, a field goal. And Jim Stillwagon, the great All-American for Ohio State, tells his buddy, he says, look, he says, get down on all fours. I'm jumping on your back, and I'm going to try and fly up and block this thing. And if you watch the play, the guy goes down to all fours, and Jim Stillwagon climbs on his back, climbs up, and flies in the air. Stillwagon does not get the ball, but Lantry misses the kick. You can't do that today. The rules have legislated all of that out of the game. Okay, why should the Steelers have been in the playoffs and not San Diego? Because Kansas City should have had another field goal try. Why? Why do you have a field goal try again? Because they have a rule that you can only have 6 guys to one side of the ball max. You can't load up with 10 guys on one side of the ball to go after it, to block it. Can't do it. Why is it so rare now to get an onside kick? Why? Because you have to have 5 guys on the left and 5 guys on the right. You can't load up 10 guys on one side and go, here we go, let's have a scrum and have some fun. You're not allowed to. They've legislated all this stuff out of the game. Why? Liability. Okay? The NFL knows they got off cheap on the concussion lawsuit.
Maybe.
Maybe what?
Maybe. Didn't they say that that's not enough money now? Didn't the court say it's not enough money?
Well, as of right now, they got off cheap. Okay? And they are trying to go into a court of law and saying, look at all these things that we did to take, You know, we even took these like nine plays out of the game that aren't even timed. We took them out because we just, you know, by taking out nine untimed plays, there's no clock running. By taking those nine plays out, they reduce liability. They reduce liability in the game. That's what this is all about. They can sell it and spin it any way they want. College basketball. Right? I explained this before. John Adams, the head of officiating nationally, very good man, has worked very, very hard. Wanted to see 1,000 college basketball games played before he started to make an assessment as to whether the rules that they put in this year were doing the job or not. That was on or about December 15th. When I talk 1,000 games, I'm talking about Division II, III, Division I, okay, across the board. These rules were put in for everybody. So you get to about the 1,000 mark in games by December 15th. Notice how the game is being called today. Block charge has stayed in, which was a great move. Some touch fouls up front have stayed in, but physical play in the post, is as physical as any time I've ever seen it. Now, why is that, Kevin? Why are there fewer fouls being called now than on December 1st? Because these games are meant to fit into two-hour television windows. If your game starts at 9, you got to be off by... If your game starts at 7, you have to be done by 9 because the next game starts at 9:04. Okay? The games, when they had the rules in, were running 2:10, 2:15, 2:20. They were lapsing past the two-hour time mark. Now, will they admit this? Never. But you have to be smart enough in today's culture as to what the reasons are behind what they do. Television rules a lot. They pay a lot. Okay? As I pointed out a thousand times, Penn State used to play basketball on Wednesdays and Saturdays, with a rare exception of maybe being on Super Tuesday. Now Penn State plays basketball on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Why? Because Penn State basketball, like everybody else in the Big Ten, is a television show. You are put in to fit time slots. Penn State's playing at 8 o'clock on Thursday night this week. Why are they playing on Thursday night at 8 o'clock? Because ESPNU's televising the game. ESPNU also needs that game done by 10 o'clock because they have another game on after that. It's just a fact of life as to how today works. Liability. Liability is a big thing across the board for everybody, from hospitals to everyday life. We just talked about the common sense with kids. They are not going to put kids out there and send them to school when the temperature is 5-0 or 5 below zero. Thank goodness that's a common sense thing to do, because I don't want my child or grandchildren out there during that. They don't want them. They want a two-hour delay, or sometimes the delay. We said, well, they were predicting snow. They don't want buses out there in a potential accident and kids getting hurt. Common sense, and at the same time, liability. They don't want to be sued because they sent the kids to school. So it's a safe way of doing things. That's how things in this country are done now, where you start worrying about television time slots, and you also worry, okay, about liability. By taking the extra point out, it probably will knock about maybe 6 or 7 minutes off the game, because they'll go into commercial right away after the touchdown. And then, on top of it, it takes out nine untimed plays where there's a risk of injury. I've just deflated you.
No, I have a solution, and I'll tell you what my solution for the NFL is in a moment.
Appropriately, in this segment where we talk about liability, we're brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Not Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance. Not Pleasant Mills and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Turn and face the strain. Oh, boy.
Well, that was appropriate. Listen, I have...
Tony Knott, tomorrow, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management, then Sean Morris, BTN, tomorrow. Later in the week, we're going to go recruiting Greg Pickle, Fight On State, and also Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, because there's been so much movement, especially with the number of former Vanderbilt recruits that have now committed to Penn State. I mean, two more went last night. to commit to Penn State, and we're going to talk about numbers and what this whole thing means, and the fact that they're not done recruiting yet. We got a lot of news there. Okay, Kevin, propose your rule change now.
Okay, first off, get rid of the extra point. It's gone. A touchdown becomes 6 points. Then you can opt to go for two.
And we're out of time. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. No, God.
You opt to go
so
for...
So you want to get rid of the extra point.
Right. Opt to go for two. And if you go for two, it's a live play, period. All right? If you run it back, you get 2 points if you're the defense. Now, if you don't get it, you don't get it. You get 6 points and you just hit the restart. The other thing that I think it will make at least kickoffs more entertaining... What if you did kick it through the uprights on a kickoff and just gave them 3 points? Listen, if you take a kickoff and you put it through the uprights, you should get something for it. That's a heck of a kick. Now, I realize in Denver you'll have a little bit of an advantage.
And in dome stadiums, you can't do it. It's not an equal playing field.
But I think you have to, and in whatever happens, I think you have especially, to get rid of the K-ball.
Especially when one of the tiebreakers deals with scoring.
No, that's a very good point. I think that like when you talk
I'm sorry
about
to,
no.
I kill all. Your
I still like my conversion idea. I think the Canadian League has it too confusing with the Rouge because you can get a single point like 7 different ways. But
all right, the extra point thing to me is the equivalent of an intentional walk in baseball.
Yes.
How many times have we heard, just give them the 4 and let them walk down to first?
That's a very good point.
Okay, and now in the past, this season, I saw 3 times this season where I'm one of them. They throw it all away, and all of a sudden runners are running around. And you're like, great. Wasn't that automatic, was it? And one of the reasons it's not automatic is that the catcher can't step out of the box before the pitch is thrown because it's a balk.
I just think the extra point has to go, make it more interesting.
Yes, I did know that.
I'm an umpire. What do you forgot?
Oh, yes. That explains why District 4 struggles. to me, that's the equivalent of it. So if they want to do it where all of a sudden... his proposal is eliminate the extra point. Eliminate, and then if you go for two and get it, you get 8. If you miss it, then you have -1, you end up with 6. That's his proposal. Kickoffs are fine. It's at the 35-yard line. I have no problem with that.
Get rid of the K-ball.
But you notice, I agree with you on that. I think you just should be kicking a football.
Right.
The game ball is what you should be kicking. But every rule is designed now to make the game less violent. Why do you think an onside kick recovery is so rare? 5 and 5. Amazing, huh? College football's 4 and 7. You're allowed to put 4 on one side because of the width of the field. You know, because you can't jam 5 guys if you're going to put it in the hash mark. So, and one time, Penn State had 3 to the right and got penalized for it this season.